Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
All right, Bowerly and Bellavia. That Bellavia fellow is off on extended leave from this radio program. I don't know, some weak excuse having to do with getting the Medal of Honor on June 25th. I mean, some people will just do anything to get time off of work. It is 8 minutes after four, and we are talking about New York State cutting the religious exemption for vaccine mandates and getting your take on a couple of things. Number one, is this unconstitutional? And, you know, I think it's an entirely consistent position that I have. I don't think this is legal. I don't think this is actually constitutional. I think it is unconstitutional under the First Amendment of our Constitution, which basically says that you will be allowed, as a citizen of the United States, free exercise of your religion. So, I mean, that's without qualification. It doesn't say except in cases of vaccination. So I don't think this is a constitutional law that they've passed in Albany. And also, even though I am pro-vaccination, it just, the Constitution is supposed to trump all, is it not? Let's get back to the calls on WBEN and Leslie in Toronto. Leslie, you are a nurse and somebody who's used the religious exemption. First of all, can you explain to me, like, what religious belief would preclude your having a child vaccinated and why? On what basis?
Okay. All right, so it stems from the ingredients in the vaccine. So most vaccines contain some sort of foreign RNA and DNA from an animal source, and some contain aborted fetal tissue. And even if they remove the tissue at the or the cells at the end stage, it's still in the creation of them.
So, I mean, is there a bit of...
my exemption, but...
But is there like a scripture or something written to which we could turn to have an understanding of why somebody would want the religious exemption?
Well, most people who are religious don't believe in abortion, so they wouldn't agree with using aborted fetal tissue in the creation of a vaccine or to be injected with an animal, you know, DNA or RNA.
But why? We eat animals.
Yeah, but... you know, a lot of people don't eat, you know, not everybody eats pork, and some people don't eat chicken, and it's their own right, you know?
Well, there's more of it for the rest of us who do, I guess. Okay, keep going. We've got a little bit of an overlap, so I'm going to let you keep going.
Okay. And also addressing the lady that was on before me, she said that there's no mercury and there's only thimerosal. Well, thimerosal is a form of mercury. And it is in all multi-dose vials. It is used to this day. So it's only in the single-dose type of vaccine, but in all multi-dose vials, you still have mercury-containing thimerosal.
And as far as the mercury in the vaccines, if the amount of mercury in the vaccines was a problem, wouldn't we know it's a problem? I mean, wouldn't we have a lot more issues from vaccines?
Well, I think we do have a lot of issues from vaccines, and I think that Big Pharma, you know, does a good job in covering up a lot of the studies that are put out there so that people could make an informed choice. But then we have politicians coming in saying, oh, these vaccines are so great, we need to force them onto people. When there is no proving that they're that great, you know.
Well, I would beg to differ with you because for a while we almost completely eradicated measles. So if vaccines aren't that great, how do we achieve that?
Yeah, we achieved that because every disease has a peak. So when we reach the peak, then we call it a herd immunity, a natural herd immunity. And a doctor can phone if he'd like to challenge me on this. There's no such thing
as they will, I'm sure.
Vaccine.
There's no such thing as a what?
It's a herd immunity that's produced from a vaccine. Because herd immunity is only a natural occurrence from the live virus. We can say herd immunity. We've already reached herd immunity because most people are vaccinated and compared to the ones that aren't. So
But they wouldn't have reached that immunity without the vaccines, correct?
No. The immunity, like, say, measles, for instance, was reached when everybody, like, our age had measles.
Well, when's the last time you saw somebody who'd been afflicted by polio?
Well, polio is another one of those things that got eradicated when we reached peak. And we don't have...
So you're gonna make the argument that it has nothing to do with the shots, it has nothing to do with the vaccines?
Oh, pardon me, sorry, say that again?
You're making the argument that it has nothing to do with the shots or the vaccine?
The eradication of polio?
Yes.
Well, definitely some vaccines work, like, say, chickenpox. It works for a certain period of time. And then it stops working, then they have to introduce a second shot.
I mean, I never had to worry as a kid. I never had to worry about coming down with polio because I was vaccinated. I was protected against it. I don't have to worry about getting chickenpox anymore because I, through natural immunity, am protected against it.
Right. When we were kids, we had reached the peak of polio, so it wasn't active in our community. Now, if we say that the vaccine helped, you know, to eradicate polio, that's up for debate because they changed.
Seriously?
And that's a known fact. They changed the definition of polio. So anybody that, like, I've seen it in the hospital, we've seen Guillain-Barré syndrome after a vaccine where someone is paralyzed waist down. So there's different things that happen, and it's not brought to the attention. I mean,
so if you're a nurse in a hospital and you're told you have to administer a vaccine to somebody or a shot with which you have a personal philosophical disagreement, what do you do?
Yeah. Well, that's not my area, thank God. I'm in cardiology. But I don't do that. I have been asked before to do vaccine programs for flu shots, and I don't do that.
Huh.
Because a flu shot also doesn't work. The effectiveness is so low that it doesn't work, but the risk is worse than the than anything you could get from the vaccine.
Yeah, see, that's not the way I had it explained to me. As a cardiac patient, I was told that even when you take the worst of the side effects that could possibly happen from the flu shot, they are still better than running the risk of coming down with influenza. Because I'm in that high-risk category.
Right, that's if you got influenza, but there's no evidence of a high enough percentage that the flu shot works to stop you from getting influenza. You could still get influenza. But someone that's immunocompromised is taking a greater risk, in my opinion, of taking a vaccine, because when your body's not up to par and you take these, this foreign RNA and DNA and all of this stuff, your body fights it, tries to fight what's happening. Your immune system goes lower. And that's why some people say, I got sick after I took the flu shot. Well, they don't actually get sick because of the flu shot, because it's not a live vaccine. They get sick because their immune system was low, trying to fight this invader. Because you got to remember, a vaccine is an unnatural way of entry. Once we get exposed to a virus, we have our nose, we have the mucous membrane, we have all the defenses, our skin, to fight it. But when we inject right into our bloodstream, we have a whole other way of our body saying, hey, what's this?
Well, all I know, and thank you for the call, all I know is when I was a kid, I didn't have to worry about measles, mumps, rubella, didn't have to worry about polio, didn't have to worry about a whole host of things because I was vaccinated. And lo and behold, I never came down with any of those horrible, horrible diseases. And I'm glad that my parents made the choice to have me vaccinated. Phil, are you vaccinated against everything? Are you glad that your parents chose to have you vaccinated?
Very.
You're very glad. See, I'm glad that they chose to have me cut, and I'm glad they chose to have me vaccinated. Because being cut as an adult male is one of the most painful things you can possibly go through, as we'll explore the joys of circumcision, I'm sure, at a later show.
We did a show on that, like, last year, and it was horrifying.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. People calling in who had been circumcised as adult men, and it's terrible. And somehow circumcision has found its way into the vaccination show. I can't figure that out. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Paradise, and Alan is checking in from Hawaii. Alan, you're on WBEN.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call here today.
Yeah. Tell us about the weather where you are right now.
It's sunny and probably 85 degrees.
It sucks to be you. What's on your mind?
Well, I am against this both on a constitutional basis due to the religious, taking the religious aspect of it, and also on a philosophical basis. I think your last caller there, Leslie, really hit the nail on the head as far as, why someone with a religious you know, view on things would not want vaccines.
No, but you can be a secular humanist and still not be down with abortion because you're a humanist.
Right.
I mean, you can have no religious belief whatsoever and still be against abortion.
Yes, yes. Now, to touch on what you were just talking about as well about polio and measles, you're absolutely right. Vaccines did have an impact on that. Where she mentions they hit up the disease itself hit a peak. Most all of diseases throughout history hit a peak, and then people start getting that immunity to it. So, for instance, if you have a small town that's never seen this disease before, you know, Native Americans, for instance, when the, you know, the settlers came over and they wiped out, you know, many of the Native Americans with small diseases, eventually those diseases start, you know, there were survivors from those, and then Native Americans started getting that herd immunity, essentially. So that's why, you know, measles and polio, yes, the vaccines did have somewhat of an impact there, but it's only temporary immunity. You're seeing, and as she mentioned, there's they've essentially named polio. You can't, because polio is technically eradicated by the medical community, you can't say this person has polio. A doctor will lose their license if that is the case, if they say this person has polio. But you're seeing Guillain-Barré syndrome, and I can't think of the other name. The acronym is AMF or AFM or something, acute. I can't think of it off the top of my head here, but you're seeing a lot of cases of those in our country and also in other countries, third world countries that are doing huge polio vaccinations where these kids are legit getting polio and or dying, and they're saying it's not polio. And you're seeing a lot of, you know, there's a lot going in Iran right now where nurses from other countries are coming out to vaccinate kids, and they're getting diseases. They're dying, and the parents are seeing this, and their kids are getting paralyzed. And there's actually been murders because the parents have seen this, and they've went and killed. That was in the news a couple of weeks ago. They've killed some of the people that have been doing the vaccinations because they feel like they're harming their children. So
what is that noise?
I'm sorry. Let me.
Hold on. We got a break here for traffic and weather, but I'll let you get away from the tugboat. So here in New York State, the religious exemption, so you cannot get out of having your kid vaccinated by claiming a religious exemption, is now the law of the land in New York State. And even though I'm pro-vaccination, I am against this particular law because the way I look at it, and we'll take your calls on it as well, the way I look at it, this absolutely goes against the Constitution of the United States, which guarantees people the free exercise of their religion. And the Constitution is supposed to trump everything. So how New York State can say, well, guess what? Your religious exemption doesn't matter. And then look at the First Amendment. I don't understand how those two are reconcilable positions. We'll take your telephone call, agree, disagree, 803-0930. And vaccinations, are you pro-vaccine, anti-vaccine? I honestly don't understand the anti-vaccine people because I wanted my kids to have every single available shot, no pun intended, at warding off some potentially horrible illnesses like, such as polio or measles, mumps, rubella, anything like that. Didn't want them to have it. And if there's a way to avoid it, why not? In fact, if they'd had the chickenpox vaccine back then, more developed than it was, I probably would have had them vaccinated against chickenpox. And as it turned out, I'm the one who didn't get chickenpox in our family until I was 35 years old. And I will tell you, you don't want chickenpox when you are 35 years old. It was one of the most unpleasant things I've ever experienced in my life. Given a choice between heart surgery and chickenpox, I'll take the heart surgery every time. That's how uncomfortable the chickenpox were. And I will tell you that Beavis and Butthead saved my life. Now, Beavis and Butthead, the laughter that Beavis and Butthead brought in my chickenpox-induced delirium was delightful. Let's go back to Alan in Hawaii on WBEN. Alan.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. I just want to know what the noise was.
Yeah, no, my phone was on vibrate, and it was vibrating text messages while I was talking.
Oh, you're a popular guy, dude. I bet it was vibrating text messages. Nice, wily excuse. All right, go on, please.
So, herd immunity, we've kind of shot ourselves in the foot. Again, as Leslie mentioned, herd immunity only exists through natural, you know, catching the wild virus. But a lot of these people that are getting measles and mumps now, especially mumps, all around college campuses, all around the U.S. Naval ship that's been, you know, that was quarantined. These were fully vaccinated individuals. Just a week or two ago in Florida, at the University of Florida in Gainesville, 24 people confirmed with mumps all had the vaccine. So patient zero had been vaccinated. That's just the efficacy aspect of things. But then again, they can then spread that mumps or measles or whatever to these immunocompromised, to these infants. So they have, where there's risk, there should be choice in that aspect. So it's not just, oh, these anti-vaxxers are, and I don't like that. I don't like that term personally. I prefer pro-choice in that respect. Abortion on the other side, you know, but also pro-safety. I mean, the science is not clear. Cuomo put out a statement yesterday and said, the science is crystal clear, which is contradictory to this whole thing he's doing, because it's supposed to be based on religious freedom. It's not based on science. It's based on religious freedom, which he's taking away.
Well, no, they're basing it on science, and others are trying to base it on religious freedom.
Well, the whole thing is in this case, that the law that he put into place is removing the religious exemption.
Well, right, which I happen to think is unconstitutional. Everything I've said about vaccines doesn't matter, because the Constitution is supposed to trump anything. And if you don't want to have your kid or yourself vaccinated because of a religious exemption, then I think you ought to have that right. And I think you do have that right under our Constitution. I don't agree with that. But you know what? As long as I'm vaccinated, I should be okay. Now, what you're talking about with the mumps getting into people who are vaccinated, I need to look into that a little bit more, because I'm not really familiar with that story.
And I think there's a lot of that going around. I mean, your caller before, I don't recall her name, and she was in Marilla, I believe. She was, you know, saying that you have to worry about cancer patients. And, yeah, absolutely. But there is an incubation period. When someone is vaccinated with a live vaccine, like the MMR vaccine or the nasal flu vaccine, those are live versions of the virus. Though, and it even says in the vaccine insert itself, that,
yeah, but they're attenuated.
Precaution, yeah, exactly. So there's precaution. There's an incubation period for, in some cases, up to 4 weeks, where you are a carrier of that live virus of measles, mumps, or rubella, or the flu itself. So again,
I'm not sure if that is correct. I gotta get on to some other folks. I'm glad you called in from Hawaii on WBEN. We have any physicians out there listening? You hear something that is wrong, you hear something that is dubious, feel free to call in and correct the caller. I'm not a doctor, thank God. 803, because I would just say amputate. Amputate. That would be my medical practice. Probably wouldn't be very successful. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The dynamic duo is back.
The hardest working tools.
It's Bowerly and Bellavia on WBEN.
It is the Bowerly part of the show. David is on extended leave from this program. He's receiving the Medal of Honor, the nation's highest military honor, which is coming up on June 25th at a ceremony with President Trump at the White House. And we're talking to you about vaccination, because earlier the people in New York State, they have done away with the religious exemption for vaccines. So you can no longer say, I can't have my child vaccinated because I have a religious belief that vaccinations are wrong. That is simply not going to fly. And, you know, your kid is going to be held back from school, from daycare, and probably about a million other things if they're not vaccinated, which I guess I don't really understand. Even though vaccines are not 100% effective, they are highly effective, but they're not 100%. You could, in fact, be vaccinated for the mumps and still come down with mumps. You can be vaccinated against measles and still come down with measles. It's not a 100% thing, but it does increase your chances dramatically of not contracting a given contagion. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. If you're a doctor, by the way, and you're hearing anything that is rubbing you the wrong way or something with which you agree and you want to get in on this, we'll move you to the front of the line. We won't keep you waiting like you do to us. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Now, despite the fact that I am pro-vaccination, I am absolutely opposed to this new law, which does away with the religious exemption for parents who don't want to have their kids vaccinated, because it is, to my way of thinking anyway, clearly against the First Amendment of the Constitution, which guarantees citizens of this country the right to exercise their religion, freely exercise their religion. So if somebody says that because my religious beliefs prohibit and preclude me from having my child vaccinated, that it should be good enough. That is the free exercise of religion. So the long and the short of it is, even though I am pro-vaccine, I am not in favor of this law because I'm very pro-Constitution as well. And the Constitution is supposed to trump everything. And these lawmakers who voted in favor of doing away with the religious exemption, they also took an oath to uphold the Constitution. So I'm definitely not down with that, and makes me wonder if they even have read the Constitution or have any idea what our founding document is all about, our little corporate charter. 803-0930, the landline number. Let's get right back to the calls on WBEN, Lockport, and Leonard, you're on. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Well, the only question I had with regards to the Constitution trumping a law is, if my religion allowed me to have human sacrifice, would it be your position then that the penal law against murder would be unconstitutional?
Yes. In fact, I also support human sacrifice, but it depends on the humans that are being sacrificed. You waited all that time just for that?
Well, I was just wondering what the position is.
I do support human sacrifice.
But the
I believe the Constitution supports me too.
There's laws in the Constitution. It's not black and white. I mean,
well, it is. It is pretty black and white. Free exercise of religion, and they weren't talking about human sacrifice, by the way.
But it also says you're free from improper search and seizures and so on. Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, are right against self-incrimination. But there's all kinds of court cases that define what is a right against not incriminating you, or
why don't we just keep to the First Amendment of the Constitution, free exercise of religion. Do you think the founding fathers were talking seriously about human sacrifice?
No.
Okay. Do you believe that the founding fathers would look at what happened in Albany and say, this is good, this is what we had in mind?
I think the founding fathers, in my mind, certainly would have looked at the public good, because the way Constitution starts off, we're making this Constitution
a more perfect union.
So I think they would look at the greater good first, although their individual rights were important, because they wouldn't ratify the initial Constitution without these Bill of Rights, these amendments. The first 10 amendments, in my mind, are not amendments. They're part of the initial Constitution because it wasn't ratified until they were placed in there. But I think they looked at what they were trying to do was get a confederation of the states together to agree on something. So, I agree with your position that on this one case, the exercise of a religious right may be impaired, but if it saves my life, then I guess I'm for it.
But here's where I think your argument kind of falls flat, with all due respect. If you believe in vaccination and you are vaccinated, you theoretically have very little to fear from somebody who is not vaccinated or their child, correct?
Well, I'm old enough to be unvaccinated.
But let's pretend that you're a little bit younger. I know, I have the same feeling. I wish we could as well. But to me, if you're vaccinated, you really don't have a lot to worry about. Granted, no vaccine is 100% effective, but I wouldn't lose sleep over it.
All right.
All right, man. Hey, Leonard, thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And no, I fully believe in human sacrifice. I think that's something that I don't even have to state, right? It's that obvious. Now, that's not what the founding. I mean, look, there have been court cases which have ruled against certain religious practices, and I believe human sacrifice might very well have been one of them. Let's go to Lonnie in Elma on WBEN. Lonnie, hello. Human sacrifice, yes or no?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I wanted to put you down. That's the topic today.
But the my point with that is sort of the same thing. What do you think? How do you think like the Mormons felt when they changed the law for polygamy? I mean, that's a religious practice.
I never said that I was in favor of the law changing for that. I think if the Mormons wanted to have polygamy, they ought to be allowed to have polygamy.
Well, my point to that is they make laws changing that. All you know, it's not unheard of that they can make a law just saying, no, you can't claim that as a religious exemption.
And do I have to go along with it just because a bunch of people in suits say it's the new law?
They're supposed to be the people that represent us, though. I realize half the time they don't, but that still, if you know, that just goes to the breakdown of it all.
Well, I mean, to me, I just look at the wording of the Constitution, and without invoking human sacrifice or polygamy, it seems to me that the saying no to a vaccination based on religious grounds is something that most reasonable people would say that is a valid excuse.
See, I also have no problem with that, but like my point of it all was that they make laws about religion all the time, and people just let it slide by and say nothing about it.
Give me a for example.
Abortion.
Well, that's not really a religious situation. That's not really a First Amendment thing.
No, but people who are religious think no abortion. I mean, you know, the people...
And then they don't have to have an abortion.
I understand that, but the law was changed because people were elected and changed it. People who were religious didn't like that. Now they're trying to change it back. You know, I mean, it's just... That's the religious aspect of that.
Well, you also, Lonnie, you don't have to be religious in order to oppose abortion. I mean, I think it's entirely possible that you can be a secular humanist and still oppose abortion based on humanistic logic as opposed to religious theories.
I agree. I'm opposed to abortion, but I'm not religious. But, you know, it's just people are, and you can't make laws about what people believe and expect, like you just said, everybody... You think just because some guy in a suit tells you that, that's what you're supposed to believe? No. But that's the way it goes, and everybody thinks, like, you know, things change. And,
oh, no. Lonnie literally just dropped his phone on the air. That has never happened before on any show of which I've been a part. The caller has dropped the phone and severed the connection. Oh, my goodness. 803, that frees up a line for you at 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. In a related development, the Buffalo Bills have just drafted Lonnie at the wide receiver position, which I find a very interesting take. Here is Bert in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Bert, you're on. Hello.
Oh, hi there. Hey, I'm all for that human sacrifice if I get to pick the person.
All right. Human sacrifice is a big hit today on Bowerly and Bellavia. Thank you, sir.
I'm calling on a vaccination. I was probably responsible, whether that's blame or credit, for bringing in the vaccination program in Ontario back in the 70s. I was on the Board of Education. I was also on the Board of Health. And school kids not being vaccinated was a major problem. Nobody knew who was covered and who wasn't, and outbreaks became more dangerous because of that. And I managed to lobby every school board and Board of Health in the province of Ontario, all in agreement, how could we not be? And we went to the Ontario government, and they passed the law. The key to me getting it through over these objections, and it was only affecting kids in school. That's all we said. You don't have to have a vaccination. You just can't come to school if you don't. But there was an out. You could write what I call the bad parent letter. I am a bad parent. I'm not going to protect my kids. Please put them in grade one. And it worked. Actually, the problem with vaccinations wasn't the protection issue entirely. It was knowing who was and who wasn't protected. Mm-hmm. We used to have to close a school or send a whole class home in one outbreak. Now we say, hey, Johnny and Barry, you're not protected. You can't come to school for a couple of weeks. No problem. As far as religion, I was also with the Immigration and Refugee Board. We get a few claims on religion from other countries. The Jehovah's Witnesses claims were quite, not numerous, but they weren't rare.
Well, they believe they've got the right to ring every doorbell in America as part of their, no?
Well, that comes under that human sacrifice law.
This is true. I believe you can sacrifice Jehovah's Witnesses if they come to your house, yes.
But they do have a provision in their religion which restricts it using anything in their body from other bodies. Blood transfusions
right.
was basically the issue.
Which I don't understand, because if you believe that life is a gift from God, isn't it kind of contingent upon you to want to preserve that life as much as you possibly can?
Well, I don't know. I think they're telling about interfering with other life. Anyways, the Jehovah's Witnesses solved it at their head office, which is in Brooklyn, by the way, or in the Bronx. Said it was totally okay to take artificial blood substitutes. So the idea of being forced to have a blood transfusion to save your own life wasn't an issue, because there was an alternative that was medically efficient and religiously approved. I would think, I can't think of any other religion that actually has anything about injections into the body.
I don't know what the issue is with the ultra-Orthodox Jews. I have no clue.
We say it's, we don't allow any interference into the body. You can't form an operation on us. You can't, do anything to us. We have the right of, same as abortion. You can't touch my body. But we didn't, and that's why we couldn't get kids to be vaccinated by forcing them. All we could do was say, do it or do the other thing, and try to make the other thing uncomfortable. But I don't think there's a religion that specifies no vaccinations. If you want to start your own religion and say, I'm, the Pope, and there's only one member, and it's me, and I'm against, I'm issuing an edict. Well, that wouldn't stand up. It had to be an organized religion, I think, for anybody to take advantage of the religious. If it's a personal belief.
Well, it's got to be a sincere religious belief. And there's got to be a compelling state interest on the other side of the coin with enforcing vaccination.
Well, as you're
Issues like human sacrifice are typically decided on a case-by-case basis.
Well, she talked about the Ontario law, and she got this right. I think it was the only thing she got right. That the rule says on religious or,
conscience?
Ideology or personal beliefs.
Personal conscience, perhaps?
That is the new...
Hold on, sir. I got to take a break. We'll get right back to you in a moment. And, I've heard about dropping a call, but the other guy definitely dropped his own call and dropped his own phone one call before this fellow here. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Now, the First Amendment free exercise of religion, it's kind of like vaccination in the sense that it's not 100%, but you have to be reasonable about it. And we're talking about sincere religious beliefs. And in the case of a tie, they have to consider the individual case at hand and the facts and circumstances of an individual case. I might not know everything about everything, but I am certain that we've got Bert in Niagara Falls, Ontario, wrapping things up. Bert?
Yeah, okay. I want to say that nurse in Toronto must be very special, because I think she has an opposite opinion to every other medical person in the province. And I spend 3 times a week on dialysis, and sometimes talking to nurses about various things. Most nurses would tell you to get vaccinated. The flu, yes, there's various strains, and they don't always forecast the right strain. Brand 3 is going to be big this summer, and it isn't brand 2. So you're inoculated against 3, tough. But overall, you're still better off than going by yourself.
Yeah, that's what my doctor told me, because I'm in that high-risk group.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That nurse side, it kind of surprised me. I didn't hear all her talk after the break for the news. But I'll tell you, the biggest things are, you know who's protected in the school if they have to provide a written, documentation, either vaccination records or a big red flag that they're not. And the schools needed that just to manage when an outbreak came. And outbreaks, even today, can be deadly.
Oh, yeah.
Because the humans, the kids today, aren't nearly as tough against those diseases, natural human resistance, as they were in the 50s and 60s. Kids had built up over 40 years of exposure. Kids died, but the other kids that survived got stronger. That what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Now, they've had a free ride. They haven't had any exercise, any immune exercise, for 50 years.
What did you do, throw Nietzsche and Darwin all together in the same...
Exactly.
All right, hey, we got to move on. I'm glad you called.
Yeah, guys, thanks for taking me. I don't usually call internationally, but it was a topic I believe a lot in.
Well, I'm glad you did, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you. There's Bert from Niagara Falls. Man, we've really spanned the globe today. Toronto, Niagara Falls, Hawaii, right here in Western New York, and all over the place in Western New York, and that's a real good thing. Happy to hear it. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.